Hello, history lovers. We're here. We're back again to talk about part two of...
About Frank, the Irishman Sheeran, and specifically the novel, I Hear You Paint Houses. Now, when last cast, we were talking about Frank Sheeran's birth, his 411 days of combat, his entry into organized crime, stealing from the company he lived in, and then he started working with Russell Bufalino, the mafia boss you always knew existed, but you never heard of before.
Oh, wait. Since this is wine about history, yes, we have to talk about the wine we're drinking tonight, because that is an integral part of this show. Tonight we're having Saint Supéry Sauvignon Blanc, and that is all I have to say about that.
Okay. And I, dear listeners, have something to confess to you. Since we've gotten some loyal audience members, I'm going to tell you my real name.
Yeah. Ooh.
Because we normally deal in codes just because social media is weird. My name is Max Hamill.
Ooh. It is revealed.
It is revealed. I'm sure that it was a mystery that none of you cared about the answer for. Oh, we have a third guest.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, we have a third guest. We have
the dog.
A cute, fluffy dog that joined the podcast because he loves his... You can probably hear the panting. Yeah.
The panting. And the... You can actually hear... You can feel his desperate need for attention.
He does have a desperate need for attention. I'm going to shut the door.
So, one last cast, we talked about how Frank had just gotten a call from Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Hoffa wanted him... to go paint some houses. Yeah, he the dog pushes his way into
I don't think I can keep him out.
Yeah, I had to put the kettlebell behind the door to keep him out. That's how strong he is. I literally have to put a 20-pound kettlebell behind my door, otherwise the dog forces the door open. So he flew to Detroit, actually, to Jimmy's local 299. And they were organizing cab drivers. And that's where he belonged. So he became a... Well, he was their hitman, but he was also an organizer.
So Frank was the hitman for the Teamsters?
The Teamsters.
Okay.
And the Mafia. He worked for the Mafia because he wasn't Irish.
Okay.
And the title I'm actually starting from is called The Gunman Had No Mask. Because he brings up no one ever wears a mask. Gunmans never wear masks. I never wore a mask. But people just say that to the newspapers so that people who did the hit know, okay, you're not a witness. It might actually be better for him to be in here. Yeah.
I think it's all right.
Okay.
He'll get tired of it and not try to get in.
So he met with Bill Isabel and another gentleman whose name is escaping my... Sam Portwine. They worked as a team, but they were actually... And they were organized, but what they really did was blow places up. They blew trucks up.
Why?
Because what happened was there's a lot of money at stake here. And they would have rebel factions splinter off.
Rebel factions of what?
The unions. The Teamsters specifically.
Okay.
And the AFCIO, which is the big union thing of America. I don't know what the AFCIO stands for.
I'll look it up.
Look it up. We have computers. You are now our producer as well as co-host. Because
yep.
That's what producers do. They look stuff
up.
You're my young Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't know what that means, do you?
No, I don't.
So, so this AFCIO kicked them out because they're so corrupt.
Oh, the AFL-CIO stands for American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations. And it's an expression of the hopes and aspirations of working people of America. That's what it said. That's what their tagline is.
Well, they literally had hitmen in the 60s.
Hope
they had people murdered. Just keep that in mind. So this is around 59. This is going on just before...
Now, this is a fact, right? We're not just saying they had people murdered and later...
You can't sue us. It's in the public record.
Oh, okay.
And if they do sue us, they'll probably just be hit by one of their... So,
but this was a long time ago.
This is a long time ago.
I'm sure they're fine now. So,
Right.
I'm sure they're fine.
Yeah.
It's they have a booth at the state fair. They must be fine. Me too.
So he went to work for Joey Glimko, who is the mafia boss of Chicago. He was one of Al Capone's guys. And he was what we wanted, he wanted one of him to do was there was a freight hauler that was resisting the union, and this company would not hire a shop steward that they had fired. And Joey Glimko said, "Why don't you go paint someone's house?" And he said, and Frank said, "That's not necessary. That's not necessary at all. Just give me one of your friends and a case of old-fashioned Coke, you know, the glass bottles."
Yeah.
What they do is they sat on a bridge just outside the freight company's doors and would drop the Coke bottles on the cab. It sounded like a bomb going off.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool. That's ingenious.
And the cabbies wouldn't know what was going on, so they would crash into the abutment.
Oops.
And it got so bad that they wouldn't leave the company. So they end up rehiring the shop steward. The company folded, said, "All right, we'll take you in control." But this is what Frank Sheeran had to say. "Finally, the driver refused to take trucks out of the yard, and the freight company came around and rehired the shop steward. But he didn't get his back pay. Maybe I should have used two cases of Coke." He's got some jokes.
Pretty funny,
yeah. So, yeah. So there's lots of wonderful anecdotes in this book. I'm not going to get into because you should buy the book. Read it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is protected under the Copyright Act. But here's what happened. During the McClellan Committee hearings, which were about the mafia, you know, in the 50s.
Yeah.
Bobby Kennedy figured out that the Hoffa and the Teamsters were mobbed up. He didn't like that. He actually published a book called The Enemy from Within, which was about how the mob it was the biggest threat to America. Well, in 1961, JFK was elected. And that's what he did.
What'd he do?
He appointed his little brother head of the Justice Department. And towards the end, Bobby Kennedy put a whole bunch of lawyers together. I think it was 23 of them. The squad had one name and one job to do. It was called the Get Hoffa Squad.
Cool.
Not cool if you're Jimmy Hoffa.
Not cool if you're Jimmy Hoffa.
Or Frank Sheeran.
Yeah.
And this is what Frank had to say about that. "Everything, and I mean everything, came as a result of that."
Wow.
So he talks about different things he had to do for the mob and killing people and killing that and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like something from a movie. Like if someone would pay him to kill someone, he'd give them the envelope back and say, "I'd do a friend a favor." He's doing you a favor, like mm-hmm. in the movies.
Oh,
like, "It's a favor. Don't worry about it."
But later he'd want...
No. You get the. It would be a favor as in, "This has no. I'll kill this person for you, but you got to take care of me one day." Because one day...
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, like, yeah, okay.
It was, yeah, I guess that's what I meant.
Okay.
So did he actually carry out the killings or did he, like, arrange...
No. He murdered people personally.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, he said he liked using a .32 caliber or a .38 caliber because they're not very accurate, but they got a lot of stopping power. And because it's smaller, you can pull it in your pocket and go bump, bump, and put it back in your pocket. If you use a .45, everyone and their mother's going to hear that big, loud round. So JFK gets elected, and then the Bay of Pigs happen. But here's where it gets really interesting. Phil Miles, he was told to Jimmy Hoffa and by his boss, Russell Bufalino, to go see... Phil Milestone of Milestone Hauling Company. He owed some big money to the mafia and he couldn't pay, so they were doing this. Basically, he met Dave Ferry and they went to the Maryland National Guard and they gave them he alludes that they gave them the material that was used for the Bay of Pigs invasion. Because Castro kicked the mafia out of Cuba.
That's right.
And they were helping the CIA. So they helped arrange the transportation for the goods and weapons and gear they used for the Bay of Pigs invasion.
What's the Bay of Pigs invasion?
Bay of Pigs invasion was in 1961. And a whole bunch of Cuban exiles, I don't remember how many, attacked, with the help of the CIA and the mafia, attacked Cuba and tried to kick Castro out. Castro knew they were coming.
Right. Yeah.
And just slaughtered them.
Yeah.
Now, part of it is, if he hadn't known they were coming, they had a chance. Mm-hmm. But the really thing that was happening, JFK said, no, let's not give them air cover.
Oh.
Because it was part of the Eisenhower and the Republicans.
Oh.
And he's just like,
political.
It was political.
Oh. That's too bad.
Yeah.
But JFK had been a war.
He was a war hero. So he knew better. He actually brought that up. He was a war hero and should have known better. So.
No, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Then Frank says that their father, Joe Kennedy, was an old bootlegger and was friends with all these mafia guys. And that's one of the reasons they took it so badly, is because that was like, you're one of our people. What are you doing not telling your son you have to do this because I said so? Because, but there was still a union to run, and Jimmy needed to do well. You know how Frank Sinatra was friends with Sam Giancana, very good friends, the mafia guy, and they were the ones who pushed the election. They wanted, all the Hollywood came out to support JFK.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone but Russell Bufalino was like, no, screw this kid. Don't elect him. And the union was pro-Nixon, actually. Mm-hmm. Teamster union pro-Nixon, because they didn't trust the Kennedys.
Oh.
And neither did Russell Bufalino. And they said, our friends in Chicago and Detroit were drinking idiot juice when they support that sound. I love that phrase, idiot juice. But then they had to war over taxi cabs in Detroit. Specifically, Paul Hall. Now, the AFCIO backed Paul Hall, who was the leader of the Seafarers Union, who was a lot like Jimmy. He was basically a less corrupt version of Jimmy Hoffa. And they, there's a lot of stories, but basically what they did is they would steal cabs. Frank Sheeran would steal cabs, drive them into the lake, get picked up by a mafia buddy, drive past the cop car that was there by Lake Michigan in Chicago, hand him a paper bag full of $100 and say, the cab had an engine problem, and then go steal another one and do that all day long. This was a real war that they had. He was arrested 26 times in a 24-hour period.
Wow.
Wait,
how do you arrest someone 26 times in a
bail.
24?
They just have a magistrate sitting with bail money.
Oh, okay.
And that's all he did was
just in, out, in, out.
It's just madness. So there's another funny story. This is the last funny story before I get to the real meat of what happened in the early 60s with Jimmy Hoffa. They couldn't organize a competition called Horn and Hardart because they didn't want to pay their help union and wage benefits. And the Horn and Hardart workers, this is a restaurant company chain.
Okay.
They didn't want the employees didn't want to sign the cards because they're these suburban housewives who thought unions were bad and all mobbed up, which is ironic that not a member of the mafia, but pretty almost as close as a non-Italian can be, was trying to get them to. So here's what he did. One day I walked into the Horn and Hardart with string tied around both my handcuffs. I held the ends of the string in my hands and walked across the floor of the restaurant. I got about halfway across and pulled the strings and released a herd of white mice out of each pant leg. My granddaughter Brittany wrote it up in junior high school like this. They ran through this woman's spaghetti, and she screamed, and up the waitress's leg, and she screamed and dropped her tray. He was laughing so hard that he forgot to run away, and he was caught.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Kind of. I wouldn't want to be the woman with the mouse in my spaghetti. But
no, extra protein.
Ugh, that kind of wrecked my meal. Oh, well.
So.
That's pretty funny. But he's laughing so hard that he just got busted. It's probably worth it.
Yeah. So there's tons of things going on. I would actually have to break this up into like six episodes to cover everything. But we're going to go straight to Jimmy Hoffa's legal troubles in the 1962. Now, what it comes down to is a gentleman named Edward Grady Parton, who was kind of a tough guy in jail, in prison. And because he's from the area Carlos Marcello, the famous Louisiana boss, was from, Jimmy Hoffa thought he was working for Eddie Parton, and Ed Parton was on bail for, dang it, oh, diverting union funds. Now, he went straight to the FBI when Jimmy Hoffa was blowing steam and talking about murdering Bobby Kennedy. Which he actually tried to attack Bobby Kennedy several times. Like, they would meet in the hallway and Jimmy would get after him.
Wow.
Yeah. So, here's the trial was in Nashville. And it was a, it was about the Test Fleet Company. And the Test Fleet Company was a wife he and his business partner put in the name of their wives. And there was some legal shenanigans where he had settled a strike by rebels, and he settled with an employer to avoid a serious lawsuit. This was his defense, and the test fleet was created after this. He had settled the strike, so the employer would hire the test fleet company to do business. They thought he had rigged this. Really, what came down to is Bobby Kennedy was looking for any excuse to punish Jimmy Hoffa. Now, this is a misdemeanor. This is nothing, especially to someone like Jimmy Hoffa. But because of his ego, he didn't want to go to jail for it. So he began to jury tamper the hell out of this trial, and it turned into a felony. Oops. He turned a misdemeanor into a felony. So it's a pretty crazy story. Basically, and this is all going on, by the way, during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Wow. Yeah, so one of the lawyers are going to bed at night going, not knowing if they're going to be under a nuclear attack the next day.
Right.
So he's constantly trying to wheel and deal with these jurors, and they were hopelessly gridlocked. And the jury couldn't make up its mind because he'd gotten some of them. And the judge said, this is nothing more than a mockery of our legal system. Yeah. And while this is going on, a crazy person in a raincoat walked up and tried to shoot Jimmy Hoffa.
Seriously?
And he shot him.
Oh, really?
In the back. But he was so crazy, he used a pellet gun.
Oops, that's not going to do much.
And there's an old gangster adage, you run towards a gun, you run away from a knife. Because if the person is not a good shot, like a lot of gangsters are used to shooting at point blank range. Mm-hmm. So, and if you rush them, that's the last thing they expect. So you can get on top of them, get the gun away from them, and kill them.
Yeah.
Unless they're a good shot military, then you're just,
Either way, you're screwed.
Yeah, either way, right. If they're a good shot, you probably have a better chance running towards them than away.
Yeah.
So, Chuck O'Brien, his foster son, nearly beat the guy to death. Yeah. They had to pull him off, and everyone had been searched, but then this crazy person ran in a raincoat of all things, manages to walk in and was not searched by the... Yeah. That's odd.
A pellet gun, though.
Still, though.
Yeah. It is odd. I'll give
and
you
he
that.
Said, now, the judge... Judge Miller had this long speech about how this is nothing more than a mockery. But all this is Jimmy Hoffa still running the union, right? But now he's under indictment for this the Sunland deal.
So what year are we at?
We're in 1963 now. That was in 1960, this is 1963. So this is around this time that Jimmy Hoffa was assassinated. November 22nd, 1963. Wow. And Frank Sheeran says straight out, we did it. Russell Bufalino and the Teamsters did it.
But Jimmy Hoffa was a Teamster.
Yep.
So his own people killed him.
No. Oh, did I say Jimmy Hoffa was assassinated? No, I'm sorry. JFK was assassinated in 1963. Okay. Ignore me. I am dumb. I have the dumbs. I cannot brain. I'm also sober for this podcast, which was a huge mistake. So November 22nd, 1963, Jimmy Hoffa had JFK killed.
Wow.
So he could take out Bobby Kennedy. Because there's an old Sicilian maxim. You don't kill a dog by cutting off the tail. You cut off its head. So their thought was, we can kill... Because Bobby Kennedy was going after the mob, too. Every single department, from the FBI to the IRS, was told, get after the mafia.
Okay. So this is controversial, what he's saying in his book. Because let's be honest, for all that I've been alive, it's been like, who really killed JFK? Did Lee Harvey Oswald act alone? Like... that's all people talk about. It's like one of the great mysteries of our time, and this guy's just admitting it. But does anybody like corroborate this?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what.
Even Bobby Kennedy said the mob did it. So he believed the mafia did it. Also, Jack Ruby, the guy who shot Lee Harvey Oswald, worked for the mob.
Well, yeah, you can wonder about that.
And met Jim and knew and was friends with Jimmy Hoffa.
Okay.
So it all does really fall into place.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it makes sense. I get it. But it's still like one of the big conspiracy theories and mysteries out there. And we're just saying this is what happened.
Yeah. LBJ. No, this is what happened. It's not even arguable. You read the book.
Okay.
All of you read this book and none of you will tweet, you're wrong. You will all agree with me because I am awesome.
So one of the great mysteries of the last...
100 years,
yeah,
is solved because I'm so curious about what deathbed confessions are going to come out of today's time, because you know someone's like, I killed people for so and so, I know where all the bodies are.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's very interesting. That guy just admits it.
Yeah.
Says he did.
I would quote him, but I just read the book. It really is. This is...
What point is Max trying to make here? I know. My mom read the book and couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
She was like...
It is insane and wonderful and crazy. But here's the thing. It backfired. Because Bobby Kennedy and LBJ hated each other. And everyone knew it. And the mob guys thought if we take out JFK, LBJ will fire Bobby Kennedy. But they made peace long enough for the trials and the McClellan Hillies and the Valachi... We'll get into Valachi in a minute. Valachi was, to continue, in 1964, Valachi was a mafia guy who basically ratted out the entire mob, told them everything, told them it's called the Cosa Nostra, told them how many members are in it, told them where all the bodies are buried, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So because no one had ever broken Omerta, the code of silence, before then. Mm-hmm. So, they go to trial in Chattanooga over the, and Eddie Parton blabbed. Eddie Parton told them everything. And he ratted them out, told them everything, and the architect, Jimmy Hoffa himself, was sentenced to 8 years. And the Frank Wilson said, you have been You stand here convicted of having tampered, really, with the very soul of this nation. People are way more passionate about our country. Now, they couldn't assassinate Eddie Parton because the mafia wanted him to sign an affidavit saying that he had lied.
Okay.
He lied. He was spent 3 years trying to unsuccessfully appeal this conviction in 1960. It was 1964 when he was appealed, around the same time that Bobby Kennedy is making sure everyone in America knows about Valachi. Everyone in America knows who the Cosa Nostra is. And all the guys in the mafia are going, "Fuck! Oh, no! This is not good!" Which is one of the reasons they went after Bobby Kennedy. They shot and killed him, too. So he also tried to bribe. Let me see if I can find the quote here. Senator investigator John C. Cheesy slipping gave him false information in a sting operation. He paid $2,000 for information he thought the Senate had on him and the government had on him. And that totally backfired, too. He was also in trouble for the Sun Valley deal, which was he basically owned the land.
Who are we talking about now, I guess?
Jimmy Hoffa, excuse me.
Oh, okay.
It's easy to get confused because there's all this – it's all legal proceedings, so it's all crazy. So Jimmy Hoffa went to jail in 1967, and he had – And you know what? Let's leave it there.
Okay. So we're going to have a part three.
We're going to have a part three.
Okay. And part three will kind of wrap things up then.
Yes, it will.
So we're leaving now with Jimmy Hoffa goes to jail.
1967.
So Kennedy was assassinated.
Kennedy was assassinated.
Bobby wouldn't have been assassinated yet. Bobby was still around. Jimmy Hoffa's going to jail, and Frank Sheeran is what right now?
He's freaking out because one of his best friends is going to jail, but he's doing his normal wheeling and dealing. But he was down in Nashville and Chattanooga a little bit to make his presence known to the jury, just so you know that he's 6'4" and worked out 4 hours 3 times a week. He's a huge dude. He would just stare at the jurors. Mm-hmm. I like to pretend, I like to think he growled every once in a while, then just showed his teeth. But, yeah.
Okay.
It's a crazy story. And I'm sorry if that was a little complicated and was insane. It was hard to take notes on. I got confused reading it. I've read the book 3 times, and I still barely understand the legal proceedings of it. Because it was one trial led to another trial while he was being tried at the same time for the Sun Valley deal. Which is, he sold the Teamsters land he owned, but the deal fell through. So he went to jail for about 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah, but
Hoffa
it gets...
Hoffa went to jail for that long?
No, because then he bribed the Nixon committee.
Oh,
and Nixon pardoned him.
Seriously?
Yeah, we're going to get into that, too.
Wow, okay, so we'll...
Yeah, Frank Sheeran assassinates that fresh kid, Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo.
He calls him like a fresh kid. This man is literally like a character from one of the old mafia movies.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
Yeah, for sure.
He calls him like a punk and a fink. And just didn't show us any respect.
Is Frank Sheeran related to Ed Sheeran, the singer? That's a serious question. Are they maybe like long lost? Like Ed would be his great nephew, maybe.
What?
Okay, that was maybe a little.
That's a little racist. Just to assume that two eye sheep are related.
Well, they have the same last name.
Yeah, but I'm not related to all the Hamels.
Okay. You're not related to Mark Hamill?
Nope.
Okay.
Regrettably, otherwise we'd be seeing that Star Wars money. I wouldn't be doing a podcast.
I just had to ask. Organized. The same last name. And
that, you know, my, that's actually something we should look into.
I think we should
look into. We should look into. Listeners, also, fun fact, listeners, go to our Twitter page and you will see we're giving this book away for free.
For free?
Yes. That's probably the reason our show wasn't well organized, because I didn't want to write into it. I want to underline the quotes or highlight anything. So I had to search for quotes real quick.
Yeah, we're a little unorganized tonight, but we'll get better.
Yeah, well, it's because I'm sober. I can't do the show sober. It's yes, it's against the... No, I can't.
It's fine. You're fine. But it is wine about history.
So it is wine about history.
We usually have a glass of wine while we do this. A
couple of shots.
No, just wine. Just wine.
Yeah, check a beer in the bathroom.
What?
Yeah.
All right. So we better sign off because...
I'm joking. Just a couple shots. So,
until next time. Have a great week, and we'll all catch up with you next week.
Buy the book.
It's a great book.
Tweet us.
Yeah, tweet and stuff.
If you tweet me anything. Tweet a hello, a cute picture of a cat, and I will randomly pick one of you to get the book.
Yay!
All right, we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.